Would you turn with me that passage we read of the book of Psalms, Psalm 37, and verse 7 is where my thoughts rested, but I want to take the whole of the psalm again for reasons that will become clear in a moment. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of whom prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. The background to our meditation last Sunday morning in the book of Exodus was Moses having been called by the Lord to deliver the people out of Egypt, given certain promises to that effect and having set out to achieve it. Initially, the way did not work out as he expected it. He was confronted with refusal and obstinacy on the part of Pharaoh. And that gave rise to the questions, to misunderstanding, to a sense of incredulity on the part of Moses. Ever since you called me, Lord, why did you call me? The people have not been set free. That sense of misunderstanding, that sense of inability to read what God is doing, that kind of feelings that Moses had, that come home to ourselves when things don't go the way we expect them to go. Yesterday, I spent most of the day in the National Archive in Edinburgh searching through dusty books, old records, going back. I did so with a purpose and with a high expectation, but it wasn't met, at least not initially, or at least in the way that I was expecting it to be met. And I can understand the feeling of Moses, because you go with what you discern to be a great encouragement from the Lord's leading, and that doesn't happen, that doesn't fulfill, doesn't happen as you'd think it to happen. And then you're left rocking and reeling, asking the same questions as Moses did. Why? Why? And that's something that's true to our own Christian experience, not just simply in the big things like Moses felt, but we all of us, as we have a promise from the Lord, as we hold on to something the Lord has given us or said to us, as we have something out of God's word, we hold on to it, and perhaps we've been through a bad and a low patch in our life, and perhaps we've got something, and we hold on to it, and it encourages us and strengthens us as we get out with it and says, yes, this is what's going to happen. And it doesn't. And we're left looking at this text and this passage and this promise, and we say the same things as Moses said. What's happened, Lord? Why? Why has it not happened, Lord? That's the kind of experience that Moses had, we've all had. And it's not something strange to Scripture. The psalmist in Psalm 73 had a problem to understand the prosperity that the evil people round about him had. They were living without any reference or fear to God and of God, and yet they were getting on well, whereas he, seeking to put the Lord first, was struggling at times, going through difficult patches. The Lord answered that questions from the part of the psalmist there in Psalm 73 by bringing him into the temple of the Lord and showing him the background of eternity. And that was a way of addressing the frustrations and the misunderstandings which he had. Habakkuk tells us the same thing, and he represents the same kind of situation and experience for us. And the Lord deals with Habakkuk in a different way. He simply shows to him and makes him think of the things which he knows are sure and certain. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what is before me. I don't know. Yes, the stall is empty, and there's no vine, and there's no animals, and there's none of these things. And they all cause trouble for me, but this I do know. And then he goes on and rehearses the things that are sure and certain. Another method the Lord uses for correcting that kind of misunderstanding. And just as I was perhaps feeling like Moses did and questioning and asking of the Lord, one little psalm came to me. And it's a lovely little psalm of only three verses, Psalm 131. And there the psalmist says, I haven't lifted my eyes up. I'm not preoccupied with big things. Lord, I'm not looking to pry into things that are beyond my ken and beyond my responsibility or orbit. I'm not trying to look over the wall in the garden of providence. I'm just content to be here. And then at the very end, he says, I'm resting in the Lord. And it was that phrase that brought me to this verse 7 of this psalm before us. Because this psalm is rich, and although it's longer, it's rich in many, many different counsels it gives us. When we don't know what's and can't understand what's going on about us. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. And all of these other things, when you see people prospering, when you see people getting on, just take their lives underneath the judgment of this psalm. It's wonderful to read it again and again and again. And you see how its light flashes over different circumstances and situations. And you begin to read people's lives in different ways through the light and understanding of Scripture. This phrase then, trust in the Lord, rest in the Lord, it comes to us time and again out of this psalm with different modulations, different perspective. It's like a precious stone with different facets and faces on it, and it lifts it and it shows and it breaks the light up. It shows to us beauty in different ways. This gem of waiting and resting upon the Lord. Let's go through this psalm then quite simply and take out some of the things that it teaches us. Right at the very beginning, it starts where we are. And that's the beauty often of Scripture, meeting us at the very point of our need, where we are. Because it speaks to us, as it speaks to the psalm, it says, fret not yourself. Don't be worried. Don't be overly concerned because of evildoers. Don't be unnecessarily worried over those haves and have-nots of life round about you. Especially those who are getting on and they can make things so much more intense and worse for us by, well, where's your God then? You believe in God and you believe that he is almighty and all-powerful. Well, if he is that and that to you, why don't you have these things that we have? The Christian's lifestyle. What have you done and where has it got you? And sometimes that can provoke and promote this kind of worries and anxieties which are addressed in this verse. And that kind of worry and anxiety is sometimes further multiplied and exaggerated if we're tired, old or ill, if the day has been hectic and heavy, and we're underneath a tremendous burden and pressure, be it from those round about us or the work we've got to do. How are we to meet it? The psalmist says, don't get hecked up. Don't get hecked up, heated up. Don't get anxious. Don't get worried. Don't let it burn up inside you, getting wound up to no purpose at all. That's only the recipe for stress. The lesson of grace is to look at the most difficult of providences or the most perplexing of paradoxes with a calm spirit, sure that the Lord is righteous in all that he does. Take our faith into the workplace, into daily life, and think it through. Not easy, but we've got to learn it, practice it and do it. Have a spiritual perspective on ourselves, on life, and on others round about us. Particularly here, the one thing that we're told, it's the same as Well, something similar rather to what is said in Psalms 73. What we're told here is, don't worry, because these people, they're just like the grass that grows and then it's cut down. It's there just for a moment, but it's all gone very quickly. Fret not, don't worry. Sometimes we can overvalue. Sometimes we can overvalue the sunshine that other people have. And at the same time, we undervalue the inheritance that is ours. We can overvalue the sunshine that is theirs and undervalue the inheritance that is ours. Don't worry. And if that's getting rid of the negative, then the rest of the psalm goes on to develop and to promote the positive things. He goes on then in verse 3, he says, trust in the Lord. Faith cures and addresses fretting. Faith cures fretting. When we are anxious, the drip of the stone, the anxieties that come upon us, they sometimes make us a little bitty squint in our sight. We don't see things as straight as we ought to. And if we assess things by our own standards, we're always making mistakes. And therefore, the best thing is to rely upon the Lord. Trust in Him. Faith gives a clear and sharper sight as we fix our eyes upon the Lord. And especially as we consciously commit and leave things in His hand. Trusting in Him, knowing of experience as well as Scripture, that He is wise and holy, that He is almighty, but especially that He cares and loves His people. And we can visit the cross time and again to remind our souls of the length, the measure, the enormity of that love to us. Trusting in the Lord. Sometimes if difficulties come our way, oh, the one immediate, not the one, the immediate way of escape comes. If only we can get out. If only we can get out from under. If only we can slip sideways or move away. The temptation to escape. And here we're told, no. Dwell in the land, and there you will have goodness and blessing. Stay where the Lord has put you and rely upon Him to supply your every need, and in doing so discover more and more of His faithfulness and goodness to you. Trust in the Lord. He goes on and he says, not only trust in the Lord, but verse 4, delight yourself in the Lord, building it up all the time. Not only has he replaced that anxiety with a trust, but now he spreads over that trust a relish and a delight in the Lord. Sometimes we think too much of what is going on in life round about us. Sometimes we think too often of what is our immediate circumstances and settings. And as we do so, then the joy is overtaken with something approaching bitterness, envy, jealousy. And what the psalmist is here saying is, no, let the Lord be our delight. Think of Him. Think of the great spiritual blessings we've received from His hand. Think for a moment, just take a time out to think again of the good things that the Lord has given to us. The way in which He has met us, blessed us, especially the spiritual blessings of forgiveness that come to us through Jesus Christ. And think of the cost of that to the Lord Himself. Lives, we hear of it, especially coming towards examination times when students cram things. Well, cramming isn't just limited to exams. Our lives, day after day, can be crammed with the involvement of this world. We can have so much pushing into our lives. And we've got to do just like the Lord said to the disciples when they came back from that mission work. They came back and the Lord says, come aside and rest a while. You've been so involved in the preaching and in the work of going out two by two. You've been so concerned about all that work. Now let's take time out and to think of things significant, spiritual for ourselves. Fill our hearts, our minds with good things from the Lord. That's the great defense that we can have against evil. That's a great defense we can have and the source we can draw on to maintain and to keep our joy. The one thing that's going to test us in the world we're living in isn't our understanding of theology. It's not our apologetics and our defense of the Christian faith. It's not the way in which we can argue and explain this passage or that passage of Scripture. The one place where we're going to be tested is the way we live as the Lord's people today, underneath the scrutiny of people in the world about us. They've got their delights. They've got their places to go to. They've got their things that they do. And they're filled with them and they're rejoicing in them. And what about us? We've got much greater source of delight. We've got one that brings a greater blessing to our souls. How much therefore deeper, more sustained and outgoing must our joy be? The delight that we have in the Lord who has done so amazing things for us. Delight in Him. Think of the basic things again and again and again. Think of what He's given to your life. Delight in Him. He goes on, he says, verse 5, commit your way to Him. Gather together all of your interests. Gather together all of your concerns and take them to the Lord in prayer. There, the word that is used here is roll them. Gather them all together in a ball like you do with children on a snowball. Gather them all together that they stick together in prayer in your life and bring them and roll them before the Lord. We've got to deliberately take all of our cares, small and great, and bring them to the Lord in prayer. It's something that is demanding of us, because sometimes when we come and yes, we do it and we bring them to the Lord in prayer and we unburden them before the Lord, and then just as we're going away, we'll gather them all together again and carry them off with us. Proverbs 16:3 tells us, commit your way to the Lord and He shall bring it to pass. Sometimes the delay, and this is where the problem arises in Christian living, sometimes the delay in the Lord fulfilling what He's promised or what our expectations might be, sometimes these delays can be very difficult to accept. But as we are told here and elsewhere in Scripture, wait on the Lord with patience. Leave the whole matter with the Lord. Having committed it to Him, leave it in His hands. His way is always perfect. We can, and so often this is what happens with reflection and 20/20 hindsight. Yes, when we're going through a circumstance and a situation, yes, we say, right, Lord, I was looking for the answer here and now, and I never got it, and that caused me concern and all of the experiences we've been reflecting on tonight. And we go on. And it's only perhaps down the road of life and into another chapter of the book, it's only maybe quite a distance on that we can look back and we say, well, now I know why it didn't happen there. Now I know why it didn't come to me then. The timing of the Lord is so much more perfect, and the way in which He answers, having committed our way to Him, the way in which He answers is always perfect at the exact right moment. It is sometimes difficult, yes, to switch off these disturbing and these distracting thoughts. Yes, it is sometimes difficult to cope with them and face up to them. But we can do it if we take on board what we said just a moment ago. Delight in the Lord. Let our lives be so filled with the Lord Himself, captivated by Him, that there's a new focus. There's a new filling. There's something fresh has come upon us. And these things occupying us and captivating us will push out, if not over the edge, at least to the edge, these disturbing and distracting thoughts. Committing our way to the Lord. Not only committing our way to the Lord, but resting in the Lord. Problems that come, disturbing, distracting, they sometimes can make us angry, even resentful. Jeremiah 21, is it? There he is, 21:7, I think it is. And he is facing up to what the Lord had given him to do. And the words that he uses there are astonishing. Lord, you've deceived me. That's the word that he uses. You've deceived me. He throws fearful words back at the Lord. Hard thoughts. But here the psalmist is saying, if that's what we're going through and facing up to, here there is something to hush your spirit. Here is something that will make us silent before the Lord. Rest in Him. Patiently wait for His time and for His way. We can be so often we can be too quick with an answer. So often we can be impetuous, almost like Peter. There, right away, speaking before we've got our mind and our brain in gear. Speaking before we've thought through what we're going to say. There, remember in Psalm 62, as we sang it, Psalm 62 says, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. Same thing is repeated in verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. That's what the Lord is saying to us. Rest in the Lord. Wait upon Him with expectation. The silent tongue shows not only a wise head, but also a holy heart. Wait upon the Lord for His plans to unfold that involve and concern ourselves. We've used the illustration in the past. We know it all too well ourselves. When you're reading a thriller, you don't go to the end of the book to find out who done it. You wait and you read each chapter, each page by itself until it unfolds. And oftentimes you end up sitting there, maybe not all night, but certainly a good few hours, just captivated, enthralled by what's been unfolded in the page. And the same should be the experience of life. We should be there, enthralled, expecting, waiting, as we turn the page each day. What's the Lord going to do today in my life? What's He going to give to me now? How is this problem that I've been coping with for year after year, month after month, day after day, how is it going to be solved today? Is it going to be solved today? Is it going to get tighter? Or slacker today? Am I going to get light on it? Or is it going to be further compounded? But we wait with expectation because we know that at the end, the Lord has indeed a perfect way out for us. Resting in the Lord. Resting upon Him. And ceasing from anger. Refraining from anger. How long, Lord? Psalm 13. How long, Lord? How long? How long? We can so often be speaking like that. And sometimes when these questions well up in our soul, they breed and they bring with them this hostility. Certainly to men, perhaps even to the Lord. And the psalmist says, no, we've got no reason to complain. We've got no argument at all with the Lord's dealings with us, because today we're standing on mercy's ground. Remind ourselves again of what we once were and what we now are. Remind ourselves of the way the Lord has been favorable to us. Remind ourselves of the good things we've enjoyed day after day from His hand. And therefore, as you speak to yourself, you can part company with that disgruntled spirit and that complaining heart. Depart from evil. Leave it behind and leave it away from you. Don't engage in it whatsoever. Don't embrace it. Don't debate with it. Don't discuss with it. Flee from it. That's the temptation. That's the source. That's the option we should have in confronting and in overcoming the temptation as it comes to us. Fleeing from it. Running from it. Verse 27 says, depart from evil and do good, and so dwell forevermore. Constantly keep the high moral ground. Abandon the lost cause. We know sin is defeated. We know that the forces of darkness have been defeated. Abandon the lost cause. God has given us much to delight in, much to enjoy and thrill our souls, much to thank Him for. These sins that come to us so attractive, these people's lives that might be so appealing, let us remember that sin is a stolen fruit. Sin is a stolen joy. It cannot be enjoyed for long, publicly and deliberately. It's always got to be hidden because it's embarrassing. And especially it brings God's displeasure upon us. That's what the Lord is saying then. Depart from evil. Depart from evil. And the last thing He says, wait upon Him. Verse 34. Wait upon the Lord and keep His way, and He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Keep that narrow way. Keep our eye upon the Lord and our feet in His path. Don't flag. Don't be distracted by what's going on round about us, because it's difficult to do that. It's difficult to keep our eye on the same target and our feet in the same way. But that's what we're called upon to do. With obedience as a servant, with the hope of an heir, with the expectation of a Christian believer. And the Lord will reward. Reward in a way that we can never measure. It goes beyond our expectation. It goes beyond our wildest dreams, the things that the Lord has in store for us. Waiting upon Him, committing our lives to Him, and the exaltation that He will bring upon us. There is, yes, we've started the psalm where we are, perhaps with a degree of anxiety, perhaps with a degree of misunderstanding and not able to read or to cope with what's happening immediately around about us, especially when our expectations are so high. And then the psalmist takes us through this psalm, not only describing how we should be, but also, we've not looked at it, but it's there for us, also bringing in time and again what's going to happen to these people, the very source of our problem. Bringing home to us what's going to happen to them. But by the time we get to the end of the psalmist, spiritual balance has been restored. And the psalm ends with that calm serenity, that tranquility of faith. Waiting upon the Lord is not the act of a moment. Waiting upon the Lord is the experience of a lifetime. It is the anecdote to fretfulness. It is the cure of concerns. The circumstances that cause us troubles, we can bring them to the Lord. But in these circumstances that round about us, We've got to face up to what we are feeling inside, our thoughts, our emotions. These things that are the product inside our minds and our souls of these circumstances about us. That's what this psalmist is dealing with. The temptations that are there to trap us. And that's what he's bringing before us. Waiting upon the Lord. Trusting in him. Delighting in him. Committing our way to him. And all the while as we delight in him, he will bring blessings to our lives. And as we think of him, so our lives are changed. And they will radiate and shine out from us something of the Lord whom we love. And as we go through the spiritual exercise, so we're brought peace, calmness, quietness again of spirit and of soul as we do what he says, resting in the Lord and waiting patiently for him, fretting not ourselves because of him who prospers in his way. And why should we not fret? Because of that man who brings wicked devices to pass. He shall be like the grass, and he shall wither as the green herb. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we come before thee again in prayer, and we bring with us our own immediate circumstances and our own immediate emotions and feelings, and we speak with thee of them, O Lord, knowing of thy care for us and thy children. Help us to understand our lives in the light of this psalm. And help us, Lord, to take the lessons that thou dost give to us there with ourselves, so that as we go out, we may go out refreshed, encouraged, strengthened with the knowledge that thou hast met with us and thou hast blessed us. Hear us, Lord, and bless thy word to our hearts then, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. That psalm, perhaps just simply to read it, I said it was only three verses. Psalm 131, we're not going to sing it, I'm just going to read it. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. Mine eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. There he is, limiting his vision and his concern. And then because of that, listen to what he says. But I have calmed and quietened my soul, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and evermore. Tremendous encouragement from Psalm 131. Let's close then tonight by singing some portions of what we've been meditating on Psalm 37 at 3. Set thou thy trust upon the Lord, and be thou doing good, and so thou in the land shalt dwell, and verily have food.